And we wonder, where will the church be in a generation or two from now? We see the demise of truth and righteousness. We see the enemy getting so strong and proud. We see governments rising up in defiance against the Lord. As in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? And it seems that in nation after nation today, that God is their enemy. Atheists abound. The spirit of defiance is around us. And we wonder, how's the church going to survive? Well, our King's on his throne. And he will build his church. He's given us this promise that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I pray that today there's a word for your heart from Psalm 24, the Psalm of our great King, the King of Glory, who bids you to open your heart, open up the gates, and let the King of Glory come in. Who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord Almighty. And so we will look at that today as we turn to this Psalm 24. We have an item in song as well, and I hope this will stir your heart as you would worship the Lord. Yes, let's turn everything in the Bible to worship. That's good advice, so that our souls do not get dry and academic, that we don't feed on academic dust, but that rather we come to the heart of the matter. The Lord Jesus bids us, give me thine heart. And I hope that today, as we let the Bible speak, that it will be an arrow of faith right to your heart that will set your soul on fire to worship the King.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow beneath the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through
Psalm 24 is our Bible portion tonight. The Psalm 24, a Psalm of David, asking the question, who is this King of Glory? Psalm 24, let's read from verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. May the Lord help us to ponder these great statements in Psalm 24. And then what shall we say for these titles given to our Lord in Revelation? They shall sing the song of Moses. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And in Revelation 17:14, he's referred to as the Lord of lords, the King of kings. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And the last one, Revelation 19:16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so in less than 10 minutes, we have covered the history of the King in the Old Testament and the New. He is King. That's his office. That's his role. That's his lordship. That is how we're to worship him. That is how we are to consider him. Not as a teddy bear, a cuddly friend. We're to consider him as the King on the throne, the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? Ah, that's the great question of the ages. And I hope tonight that you know that the Lord Jesus is the King of your life. You can't be a Christian and not make him the very King of your life. Now we move to the hope of Christ our King. Christ's office as King is the hope of the church. In the covenant of grace, now we're going way back now to God's arrangement with his Son. When God appointed his Son to be the Redeemer of his people and anointed him as King to reign for his people as the head of the church, he was given all power and he was given all authority. So he was crowned as King and he's given all authority over the church. So the church is not alone. The church is not abandoned. The church is not in danger. We have a great King who is head, who will rule to protect and to guide. Now Christ's office as King is our hope in gospel work. Because one of the most profound statements that this King said, he said, the kingdom is within you. This King reigns in hearts. He sets up his throne. Even in the hearts of the rebellious, he turns their hearts to himself and he writes his law upon their hearts. And he says in Psalm 110, that my people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now, what was it that made you a Christian? Why do you want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus? Because he rules in your heart. He becomes the true occupant of the throne of your heart. And we love it that way. And we hand over our hearts, our lives to our King. And we say, be thou the King of my life to save me, to reign, to keep. Now in our shorter catechism, number 26, the question is, how does Christ execute the office of a King? Here's the answer. In subduing us to himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all his and our enemies. Now there's a wonderful picture of this in King David. When he was going forth conquering against the enemies of Israel, there were five kings that rose up to defeat Israel, and they were all defeated. And the men asked, what shall we do with these kings? And they put their feet on the necks of the kings to crush them. That was the symbol of defeat and destruction. Our Lord Jesus, as our King, crushes our enemies. our lusts, the world, Satan, those who are moved to destroy us or attack us or offend us. And the Lord is constantly acting as king to protect his people. That's what kings do. Kings raise armies so that they protect their dominion, they protect their subjects. And where an enemy advances, he sends in the army. That's what an earthly king does. The Lord Jesus is also the King of armies, the Lord of hosts. And he has at his resources the angels, every creature at his command for the good and the protection of his people. This same king, in fulfilling his office, is the hope of future generations. When we look around and see what's happening against the church today, we may fear. And we wonder, where will the church be in a generation or two from now? We see the demise of truth and righteousness. We see the enemy getting so strong and proud. We see governments rising up in defiance against the Lord. As in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? And it seems that in nation after nation today, that God is their enemy. Atheists abound. The spirit of defiance is around us. And we wonder, how's the church going to survive? Well, our king's on his throne. And he will build his church. He's given us this promise that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the history of the church, there has been highs and lows. There have been times when things looked so dire and desperate, and the Lord sent revival. England, in the days of John and Charles Wesley, was plagued with deism. So quickly, just a century after the Puritans were at their peak, England nosedived into riotous debauchery. And historians will tell you that England was spared from the riots and the revolution of France because of the preaching of John and Charles Wesley, George Whitefield. God sent revival and turned the hearts of the people back to the God of heaven. Can he do it again? When you go home tonight, Google revival at Missouri military base. And I don't know how to check out this story, but you will learn about the claims of near 2,000 military men and women who have made professions of Christ in the last 5 months. I don't know who the preacher is. I don't know what the doctrines are, but that's the reports. The new Prime Minister of Australia is an evangelical Christian. How did that happen? In one of the most ungodly nations that I could think of in the Western world. I say Western because it's a colony of Britain and so on. God is still on the throne. There are churches, as we know in Nepal, but also in China, suffering, but very much alive. And we must not lose sight that our King is on the throne. We must not become defeatist. We must not give up in hope and prayer that the church is the apple of the Lord's eye, that his love is upon her, and that it is not a waste to preach the gospel and pray for the power of the Lord to be at work. And of course, Christ will hold that office until he returns. He will come again as the King of glory. He will destroy the wicked by the brightness of his glory. and he will gather his church home. That's our hope, because he is king. He holds that office. It's a God-given office. And he will fulfill his work. Brings me to the honor that is due to Christ our King. I'd like to go back to Psalm 24 again. Psalm 24. And you'll notice the high honor that this king is held in. If you look at verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he that hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. To enter into the presence of this king requires reverence. And if ever there is a need for the call of reverence in worship, it is in our day. As Esther approached the king, waiting for the scepter to be pointed and inviting her to accompany him, she dare not enter the king's presence until that scepter was raised. And we need to restore in our hearts the glory of our king, his majesty, his power, and approach him in reverence. Yes, with fear. As I said earlier, he's not just a cuddly teddy bear. I lament when I hear the name of Jesus trivialized, reduced to just a buddy. He's the King of Glory, we're told here in this Psalm 24. And we must not grieve him in our hearts. He asks for our love. He's the King of Love, and he asks us to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And our worship should be attended with deep, deep love for the Lord Jesus. Our singing, our praises, our prayers, our hearing of his word should be out of a heart of love for our Savior. He's also looking for our willing obedience. He said to his disciples, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And here we say, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. That's obedience. That's to love to do the will of God. And I think there are two things that the Lord is looking from every one of us tonight, and that is love and loyalty. Think of Peter when he denied the Lord. That was a loss of both love and loyalty. And that night when Jesus looked upon Peter, when he heard the swear words from his lips, it was a look of grief that melted the heart of Peter. As the Lord looks upon us, he's looking for our loyalty. Whatever the cost, whatever the opposition, loyalty is huge. Of course, Judas betrayed the Lord. He went out and it was night and he hanged himself. The Lord, this King, demands our love and loyalty. If we love and are loyal to this King, the one thing that we will seek is the extension of his kingdom. The Lord's Prayer has that built right into it. Our prayer ought to be, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As you pray for your family that his kingdom comes and his will be done, think of what that means. It's to put Christ on the throne of hearts, that he is honored and worshiped and served loyally. When you pray for Canada, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this nation, we are praying that his kingdom is extended. Doesn't matter if we get a new political party. Doesn't matter how many votes they get in the next election. If they do not honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the government will not be a blessing of the day. And so we need to seek first the kingdom of God. That's our great command. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's how we honor this king. Are you doing that in your life? I search my own heart tonight on that question. I think of the work that God has called us to do in this church, the opportunities that he's given. Are we really seeking the kingdom of God? Are we just pumping our own agenda? Are we trying to proudly honor man, denomination, or some earthly agenda? Or do we truly as a church have the honor of the King in our hearts and a burden for the extension of his kingdom? That's a big question. And we each need to answer that tonight. Do you come to church to honor the King and extend his kingdom? Or are you looking for a church of convenience? Am I, as a preacher, pastor, trying to minister in a way, just take the easy way and what pleases men? Or are we standing on the biblical principle, seek first the kingdom of God? Unless sinners are warned of their sin and brought to repentance and bow the knee to Jesus and make them the king of their lives, our ministry is for nothing. That's our goal. That must be our desire. And that is why we must preach and teach Jesus Christ and him crucified. So we pray, thy kingdom come. That's why we have prayer meetings. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then we need to put feet to those prayers to go out and make Christ known in this world. What a great thing to have a Savior who is the King. And for Christ to have that office as our King. Let's bring that into our prayers and our devotions. Search the Bible to see Christ as our King. And let's bow the knee. Take the place as a subject, a servant. And pray to honor him in all our ways.
It's time again for our pastoral talk, and I'm sorry to learn that you're so burdened, that you are cast down and filled with despair about your present troubles. And here in Matthew 11:28 through 30, the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We wonder, how can the Lord Jesus possibly give us gospel rest for our souls in times of such trouble? The Lord invites us to come unto him and to find our rest. And he spoke about being yoked to him. And this is the picture of oxen ploughing or pulling a cart. He spoke of taking his yoke to learn upon of him. That means to come under his headship and rule. That means to place yourself in step with all the purposes and will of God in Christ. It means to be under his saving power and redeeming work. It means to give your whole life to Christ in total submission to his will and his reign over your life. So it is no small thing. Many think that to come under his yoke speaks of bondage, that it is some form of slavery. And no doubt that's sometimes the language that people would have used about being under a burden, under a yoke. But when we understand who Christ is and the mighty power that is in him, then we realize that he is not calling us to some bondage, but he is indeed calling us out of bondage into liberty. You see, it is the devil or the world that takes and takes. Just as when the Israelites wanted a king to be like the other nations, God gave them Saul, But he warned them that he would reign to their ruin, that he would take their everything and impoverish their lives. The Lord warned the people through Samuel that this new king, that he would take their sons, he would take their daughters, he would take their vineyards and your olive yards, take the tenth of your seed, take the men servants and maid servants, take the tenth of your sheep, and that they would cry out because your king, whom you have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. And so when we choose to go other ways, we end up bringing a burden upon ourselves. And that, of course, is the power of Satan at work in this world. That power was at work in the hearts of the people of Judea, even Chorazin and Bethsaida. It's at work in Vancouver, Calgary, Regina, Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, and everywhere in between. The devil is the god of this world to rule as the king of darkness. He seeks to be your master. He rules hearts and turns souls to rebel against Christ. Remember that Satan is the Apollyon, the destroyer of souls. But here Christ calls you to come to him for rest. The Lord is calling you away from the bondage of serving sin in the world. He is calling you to come under his service, take up his cross and follow him, to be his disciple. And then you will find rest for your soul. Until you are united to the Lord Jesus, until your faith is fixed in him, and you are surrendered unto his will, then you cannot know gospel rest in your life. And so it is important that you come to him. Now Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light," and you will find it so. Every Christian that has tested and trusted in the Lord Jesus has come to know the peace, the freedom, the liberty that the Lord Jesus gives. Will you turn to the Lord today and give him your heart? He will give you rest.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.